This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. What's happening, Ben?
Spring, Gareth. Spring is happening.
Isn't that the greatest?
Yeah, the first few days you think, is it for real? Is it for real? It really is.
It's here, and it's here on time this year. It really did start at the right time. It usually takes a week or two, and there's some nasty sting in the spring tail, but it didn't happen, and I don't know that it can anymore. So the days are so warm. Last night, I don't know about you, last night I couldn't sleep under blankets.
It was hot. So warm last night.
God bless spring. So on my way in this morning, I had this guy in front of me in the traffic. He just slammed on brakes. Like, you know when people give you no warning whatsoever? There's no gradual slam. And there was nothing in front of him. There was no good reason for this guy to do this. I very nearly went into the back of him.
Jeez.
I had to slam down my brakes. I had to go just in front of him. I mean, just behind him, I stopped. It was, you know when your adrenaline rushes through your body and you're like, whoa, I'm awake.
Yeah, you go hot and then cold.
Yes, sis.
Well, speaking of bad driving, if you Google Santon TT accident, have you seen the images around this?
Is that the woman who goes into that sign and then...
Well, judging, like, I know the area pretty well. That woman is going up the wrong road.
It's Rivonia Road.
She's going really fast up the right side, and then she literally just flies into a sign.
But at tremendous speed.
You've got to be puzzled or on heavy drugs, right?
Well, I was sitting here in the office yesterday, and I'm on this one group, and one of the guys sent this video.
Mm.
I thought, oh my, she's dead, right? Because there's no way you could survive that. She survived, apparently.
See, I saw everyone sharing it, and I didn't want to even click on the video.
No.
Even the images themselves look way too hectic for my
liking. Here's the problem. You see, I really thought that it was just a funny act, but when I saw it, I was like, I wish I hadn't seen it. You know, you can't unsee things like that. She goes at speed. I mean, you could see her lights coming up, right? And then she virtually takes off, like Knight Rider's car used to be able to.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, very scary.
But she takes off, but again, it's the wrong side of the road. Now, like, okay, so the first thing is, you're happy that she's alive. The second thing is, this is a criminal investigation, has to be, because you're not just violating the road's laws and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right,
but you said you're driving into oncoming traffic.
Right.
Like, what is the real story here?
Yeah, no, it's very scary. I'd love to know what actually happened there, and if somebody does know, please let us know. So, how the hell was your Monday? How's your week going so far? Give us a call. You haven't taken enough calls in the last couple of days. I suddenly realized that the other day. Driving in, I was like, hang on a second. You know what to do, right? And it gives Amanda something to do. And she sits there, she looks at me.
Come to think of it, actually.
What you could do is get hold of us on 0861-555-189. And by the way, we're replacing the phone system with something that works really well. Yeah, no, really, it's going to be good. Greg is convinced it's going to be amazing. And then you can also get hold of us on WhatsApp. You know how to do that. 0797482090. Or even Skype if you'd like to give that a try. Provided you're not Rich Mulholland, who seems to have the very worst Skype line known to humanity. Right?
Who said it yesterday? They're like, oh, Cape Town is facing issues with their water and their internet. Is that
What's up with that guy? Wow. I think it was Ben who said there's clearly nothing.
It's clearly no fiber infrastructure to talk about there.
And we've been talking about fiber with Kellogg's the last couple of days too, so.
A well-rounded look at fiber.
There's even fiber there, yeah. All right, so I use this service which it kind of saves all my passwords and things. And someone told me the other day it's very unsafe to do that.
Completely.
Mm.
What? I thought it was the safest thing.
Well, someone has to hack into one thing and find everything. It just doesn't that sound stupid to you?
You wouldn't be able to.
What do you mean?
It's got,
and why are you so sure?
I got one master password, which is so long. There's no way anyone will get that. It's got uppercase and lowercase and numbers and special characters, and it's about 20 figures long.
Doesn't it also have the body of Christ in there?
I think it does. And then that one is the master password that keeps all the others.
And then where do you keep that?
No, I don't write that down anywhere. That's in my head.
What if you forget
it? No, that's that one I won't forget.
Oh, that's
because if you only have to remember one, you only remember one. See?
So what is this? Is it like an app? Is it on a site somewhere?
No, it's an app. It's called Dashlane. And it keeps everything for you.
There are quite a number of varieties of these kinds of apps at this stage.
Right. This one works for me. I like it. I've been using it for about a year now. I haven't had any security problems with it. Mm-hmm. It seems to do the job. Anyway, what a boring thing for me to talk to you about first thing in the morning. Did anyone take Run's advice and go and buy a little bit of Bitcoin yesterday?
Goodness, I was still just taking everything he said in.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but I think it might have been the right time. I saw Vinny Lingham was busy saying, oh, yeah, I gave Gareth that first Bitcoin all those years ago, all those months ago.
Yeah.
He did. He started me off on this.
So he gave you a bit of a bit. What's it worth now?
I don't know, because I can't, for some reason, I can't log on to the program he gave me, but it's there. I'll ask him to help me. I'll figure it out eventually. And then I got this weird thing yesterday too, that apparently there are some of the cell phone networks that are just like they're not working at the moment. They're having outages, cell phone outages, signal outages in certain areas. Did you get a message like that too? I got it on my phone.
No, I didn't get a message, but my network wasn't working at all over the last weekend.
Well, Mabale, you have a very
yes, I'm on the worst network case in the world.
A very unique case. If it's not one thing, it's the other.
Your network hates you.
It's fine. The feeling is mutual.
Okay. It's fair to say that, right?
No, the feeling is mutual. It's fine. Okay.
I read such an interesting thing yesterday about the feminization of men in society. It was actually part of an article I was reading about podcasts, believe it or not.
So how did we get to feminization?
Exactly, right? So listen to this. Here's how it goes. Starts off with how podcast audiences are very much more male than female.
Okay.
By about, it's 70 to 30 in America. I don't know if we're on those numbers because we've, you know, using sort of Google Analytics and the rest of it. Ours is about half-half. But in America, it's very, very strongly skewed in favor of men. And the biggest podcasts in America, things like Adam Carolla and Joe Rogan, very male, right? They say that the reason that men are going for podcasts is because radio and television and mainstream media have become so feminized. I don't know what that means until I carried on reading. And it turns out that the kind of programming, the kind of discussions and the sort of topics and the sort of conversations that men want to have are being less and less represented in mainstream media. Yeah. And so men are far more likely to go onto the internet than women to find the stuff that they very particularly care about and to find the kind of conversation and just the sort of style that men have of because men don't talk to each other like women do.
Well, men don't talk.
No, we kind of do, but we're a lot more.
They just grunt.
No, I get you. That happens too. But we're a lot more. How do I even put this? It's a little crass and, you know, derogatory. And men are a lot more aggressive in their speech. And that stuff has slowly been carved away in the mainstream media. Like, you never see it in daytime television, right?
No.
Ever. So basically any daytime programming on television and most of radio is now exclusively for women.
Wow, I've never thought about that.
And then nighttime TV has also become all these soft talk shows. And there's nothing wrong with them. Don't get me wrong. This is just why men aren't going there anymore. Does that make sense to you?
Completely.
But what is the reason behind it? Like, why have all the marketers basically decided that, well, we're just going to focus on women as target markets?
Well, I think what Gareth's saying is it's a softer content. So, like, women are more genteel because they're ladies.
Yes, but...
And I think everyone is kind of sanitizing their stuff because they're so risk-averse towards anything that could create offense.
But my question is, why are people so prepared to lose the male audience? Like, why don't they care about keeping
female,
you?
Female audiences...
Because they believe this is a new norm.
That's, I think Mubs' question is really good. The first part is that we know women are more loyal.
Fucking idiots.
They are. They're way more loyal. So they'll stay with it. If a woman decides she likes the Ellen DeGeneres show, she will try to watch the Ellen DeGeneres show.
That's because Ellen's going to give them a fridge at some stage. That's why.
She can't give every woman a fridge.
She's not Oprah, Ben. You're thinking of the Oprah era.
Only Oprah had that power.
Every time I watch Ellen, which is about four times in total, they're getting shit. They're going there and, oh my God, we're all getting gift shop vouchers for Sears or something.
So the first reason is that women are much more loyal as audiences, and they will keep coming back. Whereas men are much more fickle. Men will watch something once and they'll never watch it again if they didn't like it. And they don't feel bad about that at all. You know, it's kind of like... And women do this too when they've observed this in women's shopping and in women's friends and all the kinds of things. Because we are different. We do things differently. And then there is an element of what Ben is calling the new norm, and you're quite right. So there is this thing that's going on where... anything that is risky or controversial, programmers and particularly in media, mainstream media and social media, people don't want to upset anybody. So they don't put together content that might be considered offensive. So men hate that content because if something doesn't get the aggressive or angry or protective side of them fired up, they don't pay as much attention to it.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Like, I was reading this thing yesterday and I thought, who would have thought that podcasts would lead me into a description of... And when they said feminization of men, they also... There is this theory going around. I don't know how valid this is, but I've heard people like Christina Hoff Sommers talking about it, that... Men are discouraged from being male. In other words, if a little boy is kind of a more physical child, and particularly if he kind of behaves badly, he's told he's bad and he must change, and then the right setting is to be more like the girls in his class, you know, kind of, because girls are more docile. And they take instruction better and that kind of thing. So this is a very big generalization, but this happens. Fucking, you know what I mean?
Fucking idiot.
Look at it. No, so
it's
angry
fucking
about.
Annoying.
What? You're being very male.
No, I mean, women and their fucking loyalty can kiss my ass. Huh? Loyalty never got you anything. Like, it just keeps you being trapped in the powerless position, and people know to go back and use and reuse and abuse you because they know that you'll always be there. It's fucking annoying. Now, I do believe that there are a lot of confusing and conflicting messages being thrown at people as well. Because one day we're talking about, men are far too aggressive. They need to learn how to talk about their problems more so that they become better human beings. And then on an entirely different day, it's, no, men are too feminized. Like, what is the message here? And how does one not get confused about what you're supposed to be?
Yeah. And it's happening for women and for men. Because there are all these psychologists and these social scientists and these researchers who are busy publishing papers left, right, and center. Look, in some ways, I suppose it's helpful because we've never asked some of these questions. We've been happy to just accept certain stuff as being true. But there are parts of being male that are probably a lot more distasteful to women than they might be, but they're parts of being male. And they're parts of being female that are just nature. There's nothing you can do about them. So, you know, as much as you say that all this loyalty and everything is a negative for women, it's also the reason that families work. It's also the reasons that the woman is the gatherer and the husband's the hunter, or the man is the hunter. It's all these things that you can't just write off. They don't, you can't not make them exist and say it's a social structure. It's in the DNA. It's probably in that X chromosome, or in the men in the Y chromosome. You can't eradicate it. I just find it really, really interesting that people are publishing this stuff, and that it tells you about our behavior in a very generalized sense.
Look, I think this makes complete and utter total sense here. It really is. But I think as men, we are just told all the time how bad we are, whether it's on social media and you're being insensitive or whatever it is. I feel like that's the norm.
But you don't care, do you?
Personally, I don't care.
I think most men don't care.
No, but I disagree. I think a lot of men care more, and they feel this responsibility to be more like whatever this new thing is.
I don't know that they do. I think they just opt out.
In a public setting.
So you won't see them on, they don't go to the Ellen show. They're not watching, you know, daytime TV. They're not watching nighttime TV. Mm. They stopped listening to radio. They're going onto the internet and finding the stuff they want.
So then it would be interesting, probably, if you look at the likes of Netflix or something. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at those demographics.
Probably also very male.
Yeah.
Well, Game of Thrones is a very male kind of thing.
That's on HBO, which is also very...
Yeah, talk about it. Just the way TV shows have gone is that you've kind of got extremes, because there never used to be all these period violence pieces, right? In the last 10 years, these like historical epic kind of shows,
mm-hmm.
it's going back to like Primal Man. Your more sort of everyday sanitized stuff. Maybe there's the void.
Here's an interesting... tweet, or is it a WhatsApp that we just got from someone? They care about the male audience, but they know that women make the choice and the man just deals with it, and he does. Men decide what lawnmower to buy. Carl, that's Carl and Josie. He says, so women decide what we're going to watch and the man decides what lawnmower to buy. That's how we come to an arrangement. And then someone else says, preach, Mubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Jeez, you really do wonder how these marketers or these channel heads make their decisions, because they have to have these conversations.
I think it's amazing. We're starting to open up conversations we should have probably had years ago. But again, there's so little real communication between men and women. We communicate when we need things from each other. You know?
No, this is absolutely true. Yeah. This is the sum total of our interaction as heterosexual men and women.
Millions of years. Just what do we need from each other?
What do I want from you right now? Is it sex? Is it food? Is it shelter?
Yeah.
Is it spawn? What do I want from you right now?
Spawn. That's so romantic.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, look at Mabali Malora as a person. Does she ever speak to you unless she wants something? The answer is no.
Oh no, I've seen her speak when she... Sometimes she talks a whole lot of smack.
No.
And sometimes she gets into some gossip.
Ooh, girl.
It happens.
Because she wants information about something.
Yes. I want...
Because actually, Ben, yesterday she said to me, it was like 11:20 something a.m. She says, listen, speed it up. I need to leave at 11:30. So basically, I need to hear this before I leave. Yeah. Like, we all do this, guys.
Anyway,
I'm quite patient when you tell us stories, yeah?
Thank you, because you appreciate the colorful.
Yeah, you embellish. Sia embellishes a lot. I saw such a great meme going around. You know, Rudy Giuliani is basically, he was the mayor of New York in 9/11, right? Mm-hmm. And he has made a career since then, you know, in politics. And pretty much what he's done is just retold the 9/11 story 1,000 times. And there was this very funny thing from The Onion saying that since 9/11, every year Giuliani adds more towers and more planes to the story.
Oh, shame.
All right, it's time to get into the five things you need to know this morning. Kalkakio has stepped up their vegan range, Sia. Good news for you and other people who don't like animal products. They've brought their unique slice of Italian-inspired deliciousness to their dairy-free friends. You can build your own vegan pizza, or you can choose a pizza from their new menu selection, available at Colcacchio Pizzeria stores nationwide. And I spent a bit of time with Colcacchio's last week, and they've got some very exciting stuff coming up. Can't reveal anything now, but keep an eye. And if you're a fan of all their food, I ate at the V&A Waterfront store on Friday for lunch. Some superb stuff on their menu. Very, very nice. All right, what do we got, Mubs?
Okay, the Pretoria High Court is about to become a very busy place to be today and tomorrow. That's as the court prepares to hear President Jacob Zuma's challenge to the former public protector Tuli Madonsela's report on state capture.
Is that still going on?
That is still going, Gareth. Also later this week, the latest round in the spy tapes court battle will also play out in the Supreme Court of Appeal. Now, the president has taken Madonsela's state of capture report on review because he differs with her directive that a commission of inquiry headed by a judge appointed by the Chief Justice, Mogoeng Mogoeng, be appointed to further probe the funneling of state resources. Madonsela gave the president 30 days to appoint such a commission of inquiry, and then the DA went to court to force him to implement the remedial action. But the president argues that the Constitution gives him alone the right to appoint the head of a judicial commission of inquiry. So that's what's going to be going down in the High Court today and tomorrow. And then new evidence has emerged, if we are to believe a previously unreported deposition from the 17th of August. Zimbabwe's First Lady, Grace Mugabe, denied assaulting the South African model Gabriella Engels with the electric cable in a Johannesburg hotel last month. She says that Engels was intoxicated and unhinged, and she attacked her with a knife.
Interesting how this didn't come out at the time.
Yeah.
You would think she might have mentioned the knife attack.
Well, Ben, in a previously unreported 17th August deposition, which was seen by Reuters, Mugabe countered the 20-year-old's virgin, portraying herself as a victim. She said that she intervened on behalf of her two sons because the woman was drunk and she was unhinged. And then the knife came out.
Oh, so the first lady's a victim.
Yes, that's what she's saying. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's got 20 bodyguards. See, I mean, she's got a tough time defending herself.
I get it.
Now, if you need a reminder, according to Engels, an irate Grace Mugabe burst into the room where she was waiting with two friends to meet her two sons and started laying into her with the electric cable. So, as is usually the case, it's a case of, well, I guess in this case, she said, she said.
Well, this chick sounds a lot more violent in the Grace Mugabe version.
She does, doesn't she? Unhinged, wielding a knife.
Yeah. She sounds like she was totally out of control. Like, basically, Grace Mugabe was visiting prison.
Yeah, like Grace Mugabe as she went into a setup.
But also, you know, like, why are you, as a 20-year-old model who's been hired for the night, wielding a knife at random?
I don't know, but on a scale of 1 to total bullshit, I'm giving Grace Mugabe a total bullshit.
Okay, all right.
I agree with that rating.
Okay, that's two things you need to know so far. What else?
A Chinese businessman was allegedly kidnapped, and his captors sought a ransom of R1 million. But after settling for R100,000, they let him go. He had barely been released when police nabbed three suspects in Kraaifontein. Apparently, there are serious concerns about this kidnapping of the very wealthy becoming some other kind of sick trend. So the alleged kidnappers initially wanted R1 million after they started negotiating with the family of this Chinese gentleman. The family did well to negotiate, I suppose, because the kidnappers then settled on R100,000. But no sooner had that money been exchanged, the police were ready to pounce on them, and all three of them were arrested yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, this happened in Monte Vista.
Doesn't that sound like a really good plot for an action movie?
Yeah, it does.
Oh. Huh. This is happening on the streets. Jeez. Interesting country, huh? You can't say we're boring. All right, anything else?
In some good news, Trevor Noah has just bagged his first Emmy, which the Arts and Culture Minister Natim Tetra, you know, took to Twitter to congratulate him yesterday. But yeah, you know, Noah Noah seems to be collecting all those awards for The Daily Show.
Nice.
Good for him, I like
isn't
that.
Isn't he also interviewing Crooked Hillary quite soon?
Is he?
Oh, nice.
I like that the EFF tweeted congratulations to Trevor.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he responded saying, thank you, comrades. I really would not have done without you. And we know what he means by that.
Crooked Hillary, huh?
Yeah. I'm 99.3% sure I saw a tweet saying I'm interviewing Crooked Hillary. Well, Hillary.
Crooked Hillary.
I wonder what she's speaking about nowadays because, you know, she's...
Well, obviously, Trevor will entertain the fact that she should have won the elections. And they'll talk about that.
She wrote a book called What Happened? And I've seen this brilliant meme which Donald Trump actually retweeted where they replace the picture of Hillary with a picture of him and goes, I happened.
Wow.
And he loved that.
Wow, guys.
Yeah.
Donald loves retweeting jokes that basically suit him. The CNN WWF meme as well.
But he retweets a lot.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's almost like you should aim for the President of the United States to retweet you if you're in the business of humor.
Well, just tackle a Crooked Hillary thing, and your chances are very good.
No, absolutely. You just mention her as being Crooked Hillary, and there's a huge chance. Shame, I saw Richard Branson. You know, he's got such a hard life.
Where is this going?
But I do feel sorry for him because his place that he goes to in the summer, Necker Island in the British Virgin Islands,
mm-hmm.
is wiped out by that hurricane.
Jeez, Necker Island was burnt once. Yeah,
it's such an unstable place. He really could have rather gone for something a little safer, a little more, you know, chilled. This place was right in the eye of the storm.
Yeah, I mean, he could have had a half a beach in Azefontein, but no.
Ah, exactly.
He's got that Necker Island.
Where, Ben?
Azefontein.
Okay.
Any reason I know that place exists is because my folks are there over the next few days. They've been looking at these flowers in the Cape. All right, that's enough of all that stuff for now. Let's go to Ben and find out what's going on in the sport. Right, Ben?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Well, oh God!
You know your microphone.
I would love to know how many sports bulletins start with my mic not being.
You know what happens? I pull up the fader on your music.
I don't care what happens.
I'm busy explaining it.
The net result is I have no microphone.
Yeah, I know. And then this here lands on that button there, and then you can't talk.
Well, you're an industrious young lad. Change the setting.
Yo, I can't with these two. I can't.
So it's full frontal football coming up. We've got the Champions League is back. That's really exciting because all the biggest teams in the world, well, they all get thrown together like circus animals for one night a week. Actually, two nights a week because it's always Tuesday and a Wednesday. Uh-huh. So Man United, they're obviously feeling very good right now. Top of the English Premier League. They'll take on Basel tonight at 8 o'clock. Benfica, CSK Moscow, 8:30. Celtic will take on PSG. That is, of course, the star-studded PSG, but they'll be without a couple of their stars through injury. Anyway, 8:40, too strong for Celtic for sure. Then Chelsea will take on Qarabag.
What?
Qarabag. Qarabag. No. 20:09. Barcelona will take on Juventus in the big one for the night. That is going to be a huge match, same time, 20:09. Then Bayern Munich versus Anderlecht. Roma will take on Atletico Madrid and Olympiacos versus Sporting Lisbon. So those are your big Champions League thingies tonight. But there's PSL going on as well. Now, last night, Sundowns managed to beat Free State Stars. That's a good result for Sundowns. Bit of a rocky start to the season. But then tonight, we'll see Pirates versus Ajax, 6:30. Sivasspor United will take on Platinum Stars. Polokwane City will take on Bloem Celtic. Chipper versus Baraka and Amazulu versus Maritzburg. So there you have it. All kinds of things you can watch tonight if you don't like series or if mainstream media has become too feminine for you. Flat out football. There you go. Last night saw West Ham pick up their first points of the Premier League season. They beat Huddersfield 2-0. Big result for West Ham. Finally back at home at the London Olympic Stadium. And Huddersfield, well, they've had a good start, but finally they got beaten. Frank de Boer, well, he's been given the arse after just 4 weeks. Crystal Palace now doesn't have a manager after not scoring a goal for 4 weeks.
Has it impeded them?
Well, yeah, they haven't scored a goal in 4 weeks. So.
No, but I mean, usually, because I mean, when we were at the SABC, when we didn't have management, things seemed to operate better.
Well, Gareth, he's been fired. He's been fired as of yesterday, so we'll see how they go from this time on.
Shame.
So, yeah, massive week of football, more Champions League stuff tomorrow. Big week of cricket as well, because Faf du Plessis is officially the captain of all three formats of the game for the Proteas. So that's Tests, T20s, that's ODIs. No surprise here. Basically, he was the only man for the job. And Otis Gibson will join him later on this week. Well, he won't this week because Faf's in Pakistan. It's the T20 World 11 versus Pakistan all week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. They'll be in Lahore for that one. And it's a big moment in Pakistani cricket because ever since they kind of opened fire on a Sri Lankan bus, well, not them, of course, the cricketers, they were just some Pakistani rebels. They opened fire on a Pakistan, sorry, on a Sri Lankan bus 2009, and they haven't really had any big cricket since then. I mean, Zimbabwe went there for two ODIs, but nobody really cares about them. But this World 11 series, this is going to be a big deal. Faf's there, Morne Morkel's there, David Miller will be there, Imran Tahir will be there, he finally got a visa. So there's going to be a star-studded array of players trying to bring Pakistan some, I wouldn't say goodwill, but just kind of getting the game back there, because I think they're such a massive force in world cricket, and to get players and teams back there will be a huge, huge deal. In rugby news, well, it's the big weekend for SA versus New Zealand. Now, outwardly homosexual man, Nigel Owens will be the ref for that one. And I think he is probably the best ref in the world right now. He really is. And he just has a way of communicating with the players. He's got a way of conducting these matches. And this is the kind of guy you want for a game as big as this. Now, Sia, I see you have a smirk on your face. And it's because I mentioned Nigel Owens, because normally we get some substandard piece of shit French ref.
Oh.
Who has, I mean, he's just all over the place. You don't know what his interpretations are going to be. And they just start choking in big events like this. We've seen it far too often. These two teams, their matches are sullied by these just flaky Frenchies.
Mm.
So Nigel, good on you. He's in there.
Nigel.
Yeah, Nigel's my favourite. That's pretty much it for sport on this Tuesday, Gareth. We've got the FedEx Cup coming back in the golf this weekend. And, well, the Cheetahs and the Kings managed to get the Pro 14 matches at home this time around, which would be very interesting in itself. But more news around that closer to the weekend.
Alrighty then. Thank you, Ben. That's a quick look at your sport. We're going to turn our attention now to the Money Shot, which is with Anthea Gardner and, of course, her song, so that you can get into the mood. Is it Anthea today?
Let me just have a look.
She's it's Tamsin. Okay, sorry, because Anthea is still not back. She's away this, she was away for the last 2 days of last week, and she's away for the first 2 days of this week. I didn't check. So let's go to Tamsin and find out what's happening in the Money Shot. Tamsin, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Sorry, I introduced you wrong. I thought you'd come on as Anthea.
Introducing me as Anthea is a compliment, so I'll take it.
All right, cool. So Tamsin,
I'll take it.
Yesterday we had Selejo telling us about a bunch of things that he's looking forward to in the week. But how were the markets yesterday?
So yesterday, and this is a strange sentence in itself, the markets breathed a sigh of relief and traded in positive territory as sentiment turned after North Korea didn't fire another ballistic missile over the past weekend.
Sure.
And the devastation that we saw from Hurricane Irma came in less than initially expected. So we saw a lot of green across the board, especially in the US, and then obviously with the insurance companies there leading the charge. Unfortunately, South African sectors were trading in the negative, although Naspash kept the Aussie and top 40 positive.
Hmm.
So of the 353 points that the Aussie gained yesterday, Naspash was 318 of those. So Naspash, obviously, it listed at 10 Rand in 1994 and has recently been trading close to the 3,000 level. So that means if you put 10,000 Rand in when I was 5 years old, you would have 1.5 million Rand now.
If you put how much in when you were 5 years old?
Yeah, so it was in 1994. So I was 5 years old then. And if you put 10,000 Rand in, you would have 1.5 million Rand now.
Sure. Okay.
So my parents didn't do that.
Damn. Could have had a ton.
It's up 42% this year and traded up 3.1% yesterday again and is trading at 2,952 Rand per share. And then, so the Aussie is up 12% so far for this year, but most of that growth has come since the end of June, and it's up 8% since the end of June. So we did have a very flat first half of the year, but we are starting to see some more positive in the South African market, but most of it's still coming from Naspash. And then yesterday, the industrials and diversified lead the gain, with the resources up just under 30 basis points, although our commodities were under pressure. So we saw gold and platinum coming down. So each sector was down 3.5% and 3.7% respectively. And then we're expecting the Richmond trading update tomorrow. And that share traded up yesterday, and so it'll be interesting to see what it does today and tomorrow leading up to the date. Mm-hmm. And the only result that came out yesterday was AVI. So they obviously all our consumer brands. So it's Five Roses, Freshpak, Ellis Brown, Frisco. And then in their clothing, they have Kirkgaarder, Green Cross, Lacoste, and Gant clothing. So the results were a bit weaker than expected, and they are increasing. They are focusing on increasing their volumes. So they have put price increases through. So if you're wondering why your grocery spend has increased so much, AVI, which is only one of the fast-moving consumer goods businesses on the JSE, are putting through price increases such as in tea. Their tea price is up 21%. Coffee 12%, biscuits 11%, and personal care 7.5%. So they are passing these prices onto the consumers. And this is because the effect of the weak rand and then the drought, which we saw last year, which sent commodity prices up. But the good news is we saw white and yellow maize trade at about 4,100 rand and 3,200 rand per ton at the end of December. And those prices have dropped to 1,900 rand. Per ton. So hopefully in the next 3 to 6 months, we will see some relief in our grocery shopping spend, and then that coming through into AVI and Tiger Brands and those.
All right. That sounds like a very interesting company, by the way. Really diverse. You said clothing, tea, coffee, all kinds of very strange things.
Yeah. So coffee, tea, creamer, and then they also own I&J, the fishing business I&J. And what's quite interesting there is that there's uncertainty in that business as well, because they're busy renegotiating their fishing contracts with the government for 2020. So at the moment, they're the only ones that can fish and that they have those fishing rights. So that will be a very big thing to watch, because that's obviously one of their competitive advantages.
All right. What else are we going to look forward to this week? I know that Selejo mentioned yesterday that a lot of people are very excited about Apple's new iOS. And the
Hello?
Launch of the- Hello? You got us there?
Yes, I finally got you again.
Okay, so...
And then the Richemont update that's coming out tomorrow. So that's obviously the luxury goods business, and we actually absolutely love it as a share and include it in all our model portfolios. So we will be keeping a close eye on those results and obviously seeing how luxury goods are trading in a world that's kind of very uncertain at the moment and if there's still demand for that kind of thing.
Well, I was just saying that Selejo mentioned yesterday that we're seeing the Apple launch of their new iPhone today. And that always has an impact on their share price. So are there going to be any kind of related impacts on our own stock market, or is this purely
for US investors? No, not from Apple, but we'll definitely... So Apple is a share that we hold in our offshore share portfolio, so we will have a look at that. But no, that won't have a direct impact on anything locally.
Right,
if it does boost tech, then you'll see Tencent rise and then Nasdaq rise again. But if it's just Apple, that doesn't have a direct impact on the local markets.
Thank you very much.
But if it influences the whole tech sector.
All right. Thanks very much for the info. We'll chat to you. I think we'll probably chat to you as soon as we do. Yeah. Is Anthea back tomorrow?
Yeah, she's back tomorrow. She's on the flight this morning.
All right. Cool. Thanks very much.
Great. Thanks, cool. Gareth.
There we go. There's Tamsin Nell, everybody, giving us a little update. All right. Sia, it's your turn. Take the reins.
Yeah, well, let's have a conversation about our self-esteem, party people. So I just read this interesting article by a UK-based writer named Craig J. Todd, and he says, we actually don't need more likes, but we need self-esteem.
Ooh.
And he speaks about in the greater sense of social media. And so I'm sure we can all relate on some level on how when we post something, you know, a status or a photo and people, you know, like it and they comment and how great we are and it's amazing. That kind of, it starts off innocent, but then now when you post something, you sit like this on your phone waiting to see all of these notifications pop up. And he says, listen, guys, we're trying to fool ourselves and say, no, now it's about getting approval and getting to see which of our friends really like us. And that's an addiction in and of itself. And we should actually stop doing that and focus rather on just being content within ourselves. So he speaks about how self-esteem is determined by how you feel and how you think about yourself. And the question you should be asking yourself rather is, do I actually care about myself? It's about not feeling inferior and actually feeling worthy, and not actually having to rely on other people for validation. And so he also goes on to lay some, you know, a few tips on how to actually boost your own self-esteem. So do you want to run through those quickly?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing he says is never ever expect perfection. Now, this is a tough one when everything is all filtered and edited out in this day and age. But he says, have you ever noticed that when you constantly seek perfection, life often disappoints you? So while it's certainly a good idea to aim high, don't get caught in the perfection trap. So it can prevent you from taking advantage of new opportunities as well as blocking your ability to finish things. The second tip he has is to actually contribute to society. So when you're doing some meaningful things, you tend to feel good about yourself and don't have to rely on other people for validation. The third tip is live healthily every day. The fourth tip is to recognize triggers to low self-esteem. Now, I actually think this is a very good one to note. So difficult events like separating from a partner or losing a job, just be conscious of the fact that this is actually doing a little damage to yourself and know how to fix that and work on that rather. And this is also another one that he also goes on to explain. Focus on what you do well. We don't all have to go out there and be the best mechanic out there in the world or the best scientist, but rather know that, listen, I have my own unique talents. This is what works for me and this is what will do. You know, this is how I'll feel good about myself. And then the last two tips that he sets out there to having a better self-esteem is to set challenging goals for yourself, because there's something about accomplishing, you know, a task that makes you feel good. And then lastly, do what you love and have fun. So if you focus on those things, Craig J. Todd says, this is how you'll boost your self-esteem. And this is how you focus on what matters, because we don't need more likes. We need a better self-esteem.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point.
Very on point. Love this article.
I like that. It seems to me that a lot of people also, you know, they're always comparing themselves with other people.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you know, because of social media, you've got that right in front of you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see how great everyone else's life supposedly looks, and you get to see all of their achievements being trumpeted. And it makes you think, oh, well, I'm not doing anything, or I'm not as talented, or I'm not as good, or I'm not as useful.
Yeah.
That isn't true.
But if we just accept that comparing ourselves to others is really just like comparing apples and oranges in some cases, you're just yourself. Do that.
Yeah, but also, maybe, you know, if it was 100 years ago, you wouldn't have cared what other people were doing because you wouldn't have known what they were up to.
Yeah.
You'd be busy digging, I don't know, crap out of the earth for your family, so you wouldn't be watching the other people and how much more crap they'd dug out of the earth for their families. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
No. So let's just get over ourselves. That's a very good point. Don't let this pressure of having to be online and all the likes and people who are getting so many more views than you are, and how am I ever going to monetize my... Because you won't monetize your YouTube.
Because I'm an influencer now.
Yeah, get over it. It's not going to happen. Just stop it.
I like it.
Everyone's an influencer. Everyone's a brand. Everyone's getting likes. And you know what the point is? Like, if we're all getting likes and we're all getting views and we're all brands, then no one's going to spend money on any of us.
Yeah.
All right.
Spot on.
Calm down, people. Just got this very, very funny picture of Alicia from the Casper Radio Show. Remember her?
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Hey, Gareth, a group of us, basically all the bitches and my husband, are taking Alicia to Cape Town for her 30th birthday on Friday. She's never been to Cape Town, and the whole itinerary is a surprise. I can't wait to see her face. One whole week of debauchery with customized T-shirts and best friends. Can't wait. They all look like Miley Cyrus.
Or if you squint, one of them gives me Kelly Osbourne vibes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's birthday is also on Friday. Shame. He really gets second fiddle to your friend Alicia. So it's a double whammy of Cape Town birthday bashes. Woo, fucking woo. Wait for the whole year. That's so cool when you've planned something. Because clearly this is, you know, there's been a lot of planning and a lot of thought and effort that's gone into this. I love that. That's how you know you've got real friends. Not ones who just post something with you to get likes.
Just an extra bit of positivity on the back of Sia's talk about likes on social media and that kind of stuff. There is a one-armed woman on Tinder who's creating quite a stir at the moment.
How so?
Well, she's got one arm, and her bio reads, Lauren 21, arms dealer, hands down the best catch on Tinder, face 10 out of 10, body 9 out of 10, personality 20 out of 10, arms 1 out of 2. And she has cool. Her tweets are really, really great, and she's obviously quite self-deprecating about this whole thing. She had a motorbike accident. Mm-hmm. She flew off her bike. Her arm just fell off her body. She hit this thing really hard, and that was it. Slashed her arm off. And she is trying to raise some money to get a prosthetic arm. She has a GoFundMe page. But like her Twitter updates are so funny. It's like she came out of the sea one day, and a little kid said, "What happened to your arm?" She's like, "A shark just bit it off." And then the kid ran screaming out of the beach. And there's a picture of her with a three-legged dog, and she says, "Look, I found my twin dog."
I usually like people like that.
Well, here's a message from Vince this morning. "My day thus far: got a long hug and an ass slap from an Asian chick this morning. We somehow met Saturday evening, not that I can recall. Must have been so bloody high. I remember going on a jaul to the beach and smoked so much Zol. Moral of the story, smoke less Zol. Hooking up tonight. Vince." Woohoo.
Wow.
Nice, huh?
That's a story.
And then someone wants to know, am I being a dumbass, but on the Android app, how do you phone in? Well, you've got a phone, right? So you use the phone part of it. It's not on our app. You dial like you would dial your mom. 0861.
I love the explanation.
555-189. What would you like?
Like, what else do you have to say?
Yeah, come on.
Same way you dial your mom.
Yeah, seriously.
Save us as like mom too.
All right. Amanda sent me an interesting link to all the best songs to drive to.
Hmm.
I think we should look at that a little bit later on.
In general, or just when you're driving around the East End?
Yeah, because we know what Amanda listens to, guys.
Yeah.
Britney Spears.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we'll find out what those are. We'll also hear the best insults from the Hound on Game of Thrones. Something crazy is going on with Jim Carrey that we've got to talk about. And so much more in the news with Mubs. All of that on the way between 7 and 8. And then after 8 o'clock, yay, here's something to get excited about. We've got Chris Forrest popping by. He's one of our favorite comedians. And along with him is Pete Goff Wood, who's the chef. Do you remember Pete?
Mm-hmm. He's been on MasterChef.
MasterChef. South He's Africa. One of the judges, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's the big white guy. As opposed to the big black guy who's Benny. There's Pete, there's Benny, and wasn't there a third one as well?
Yeah.
Ruben Riffles or whatever his name was. See? Even for someone who doesn't watch TV shows about cooking, I knew their names. How's that? Aren't you impressed? So they'll be popping in. Why are Pete and Chris here, you may ask? Well, because they're busy doing a Top Gear of cooking shows. Don't Burn Your Sausage. It's an ingenious live show that is deliciously funny and rather... Whisk A takes place from the 22nd to 24th of September. So that's going to be a new TV show for you, and they'll both pop in and tell us about it in a short while. Do you remember when this was the song of summer?
Oh no, this was always Damon's song.
Yo. Oh really?
Can't listen to the song and not think about Damon.
I think it's
and there's sweaty crack in the studio at 6 a.m.
It was December 2014, January 2015. This was the biggest song in the world.
This is CliffCentral.com.